This week on Vaticano, we explore the Jubilee of Digital Creators, celebrating those who share the faith through digital platforms. Then we'll have a preview of the Jubilee for Young People, set to bring thousands of youth to Rome. We'll explore its key locations from historic basilicas to vibrant meeting spaces. Finally, we remember Sister Claire Crockett, a young nun whose life of joyful sacrifice continues to inspire. Vaticano starts now.
From TikTok testimonies to hashtag homilies, technology is changing the process of evangelization. You might have even noticed a new kind of influencer popping up on your feed, the digital missionary. These modern evangelizers are taking the internet by storm, and for the first time, the Catholic Church is inviting them here, to Rome, to celebrate their calling at the Jubilee for Digital Missionaries and Catholic Influencers.
The idea to engage digital missionaries was born from the recent Synod on Synodality, when Pope Francis asked Catholics across the world to participate in discussion about the Church. During this process, Monsignor Lucio Ruiz, Secretary of the Dicastery for Communication, recognized many people were already sharing their faith online and decided to actively involve them in the Church's mission.
They weren't just simple influencers who presented topics or sold items, but they were people who loved Jesus and the Church, and who dedicated themselves to seeking out suffering and bringing the word, to finding the healing wounds, right? So they were good Samaritans on the web.
Monsignor Ruiz explains that, for digital missionaries, the internet is more than a platform. It's a way to meet people where they are, on their screens. It's an effort being taken up by Catholic influencers like Katie McGrady, who sees the Church's embrace of the digital age as encouraging. Seven
times. What does the Church's embrace of digital missionaries mean for the future of Catholic evangelization?
I think the embrace of this terminology, the idea that the internet is not a fad, social media is actually the Roman forum of today, and the Church has something to say about it and wants to encourage people who are in that space and who are working there to do it well and to be tethered to Holy Mother Church as they do it. It gives me a great hope that we will not be behind.
And because social media knows no borders, this technological embrace is resonating across continents. One voice echoing this sentiment is Father John Paul from Namibia, Africa, who sees digital engagement not only as exciting, but essential.
This is how the Church communicates in the new world where technology and communication is vital. Therefore, it's very significant if we are using the media as a social communication to reach our people. Especially nowadays, everybody's there on communication. Young people, they are not really willing to be here and there. But when you have a software or a website or a page, then you can evangelize, you can reach to them, you can do the service to them.
Priests aren't the only church leaders online either. Pope Leo is a longtime user of social media, and upon being elected, he launched his papal accounts on X and Instagram, where he has reached 18.8 and 14 million followers, respectively. But the Jubilee for Digital Missionaries isn't just about big numbers. It marks a historic moment of recognition for these modern missionaries.
In 100 years, when the internet is vastly different, and with influencing, who knows what it's going to look like? I don't even know what it's going to look like in the next 10 years. But I think in 100 years, the Jubilee of 2025, we'll be able to say historically, that was the first time the Church acknowledged this particular group and gave them attention and encouragement. And I can't wait to experience that. I can't wait to share that.
In a world driven by follows, likes, and shares, these modern missionaries are paving the way for a new generation of evangelizers. But even in an era of constant online connection, the heart of the Church can still be found in person, in Rome, where these modern missionaries will gather on July 28th and 29th to celebrate their faith.
Stay tuned as we preview the Jubilee for Young People, and uncover what's ahead for this inspiring event.
From a night of worship and testimony sharing to a morning mass with the Pope, all young people around the world are invited to Rome to celebrate the Jubilee of Youth. This is the longest and largest Jubilee celebration happening, lasting for 5 days with over 1 million people in attendance. Just next to St. Peter's Square, the Dicastery for Evangelization has set up the Youth Info Point, the heart of logistics and hospitality. Behind the scenes, volunteers like Zimmy from Portugal are helping young people from around the world feel welcome as they arrive in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth.
Like, why are you passionate about helping people the way that you do?
If you look around and if you come to the info point, you'll see that we have Polish, Spanish, French, English, Portuguese, and Italian. So we're trying to be as accommodative as possible for everyone. And since I speak Portuguese, it made sense for me to come to the help desk.
Have you ever met the Pope?
We've seen him really close sometimes. We are so close to him, spiritually at least. Like, when we are helping with these ceremonies, it's like we are bringing Christ to others. You feel like you're bringing Christ to others, which is such a big responsibility, but such a huge privilege as well, which in the end just ends filling me up with joy.
Zemi also revealed to me the Jubilee kits they have prepared for young pilgrims who are traveling to Rome. The kits include one green shirt, one white shirt, a water bottle, a bandana, a lanyard, a rosary bracelet, and a Jubilee hat. Packed with activities, the Jubilee of Youth will include masses, concerts, and time for confession and the pilgrimage to meet with the Holy Father at Tor Vergata. The upcoming meeting with Pope Leo at Tor Vergata will mark his first major gathering with young people since the start of his pontificate. Many people are expected to attend this Jubilee of Youth. At a press conference, Monsignor Graziano Borgonovo, Undersecretary of the Dicastery of Evangelization, announced that Rome is preparing for 1 million young people to attend the Jubilee of Youth with events planned across the entire city.
There will be various moments, also located in various squares of the city, as well as here in the Vatican area, waiting for the vigil on Saturday, August 2nd, and the final Mass with the Holy Father, who will also be present at the vigil on Sunday, August 3rd, in Tor Vergata.
Pope Leo has won the hearts of young people from the moment of his election. After the white smoke appeared, many youths gathered in St. Peter's Square to greet the new Pope.
Do you know about the Jubilee of Youth?
I think it's really awesome that the Church is looking to be more with the youth and to be more with them and accommodate to the new necessities of the youngest people of the Church, so that they can follow more and not think like the Church is something old and past, just for like old people, but it's something new and it's changing and it's evolving for us, and I think it's awesome that they can do that.
Known for his closeness to young people, Pope Leo has made the outreach to youth a hallmark of his pontificate.
My dear friends.
Delivering a video message to many Americans at Wright Field, home of the Chicago White Sox, Pope Leo urged them to be protagonists of a future rooted in faith and love.
Hope does not disappoint, St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. When I see each and every one of you, when I see how people gather together to celebrate their faith, I discover myself how much hope there is in the world.
Among the many participants coming to Rome for the Jubilee of Youth is Adam Bates. He will be traveling with several other college students to Rome to participate in a Holy Mass with the new Pope. Adam, so you are a student traveling from the U.S. and you're coming to Rome. Why did you want to come to the Jubilee of Youth?
I'd always wanted to go to Rome, especially the past 5 years or so, as I've gotten more interested in the faith. I want to go see St. Peter's and see all the beautiful churches and everything there, all this holy sites.
Why are you excited to see the Pope or potentially meet him? You know, like what's exciting about that for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the first American Pope, that's exciting in and of itself. Any Pope I would be happy to meet just because, again, the successor of St. Peter. So if Pope Francis is still alive, yeah, I would have loved to see him and meet him. But now Pope Leo, yeah, an American. What a great opportunity.
Since the last Jubilee in 2000, this generation of youth is now getting an opportunity to celebrate their faith and travel to Rome for the Jubilee of Hope 2025.
As you can see, this next generation is inspiring all of us to deepen our faith and connect with our communities like never before. The end of July is expected to bring in a storm of young Catholics from every corner of the world for this year's Jubilee of the Youth. Similarly to World Youth Day, this Jubilee will be an opportunity for an international coming together of future generations. Three main events will be held at three different locations in Rome: St. Peter's Square, Circo Massimo, and Tor Vergata. It will all start right here, inside the walls of Vatican City. First day, July 29th at 6 p.m. Here in St. Peter's Square, Jubilee celebrations are kicking off for all freshly arrived pilgrims.
The Jubilee of Youth has been thoroughly prepared by the team of the Dicastery for Evangelization. Rolando Streber is part of that team, working behind the scenes.
St. Peter's Square is kind of the more obvious one, with it being the center of the church, basically, like a sort of capital city of the Catholic Church in a way. Expressing, of course, unity with the Universal Church and with the Pope.
Circo Massimo, or in English, Circus Maximus, is our next Jubilee location. What was once ancient Rome's largest stadium, used for chariot races and public spectacles, is also the ground on which many Christian martyrs sacrificed their lives for their faith. Just a stone's throw away from the Colosseum, Circo Massimo will hold a penitential day for young adults on the 1st of August, with confessions available throughout the day.
Martyrs are a very powerful testimony of the faith. You know, it shows that love for Jesus is even worth dying for, even worth giving up your own life for. And in a way, that's what Jesus called us to do, to give our lives up in the name of love for our neighbor.
And why is the penitential day important?
Yeah, the penitential day, of course, there will be opportunities for reconciliation, for going to confession. That will be the main feature of the day. It's important because thinking, you know, we're here at the Dicastery for Evangelization, organizing the Jubilee of Hope. In order for evangelization to take place, you need encounter with Christ. And to encounter Christ, you come to Him as you are, of course. And that's what the Sacrament of Reconciliation does. You come to Jesus as you are to seek transformation, conversion, to seek encounter with His mercy.
And finally, we are here at the Tor Vergata. There will be a chance to make a walking pilgrimage to this site from Circo Massimo. The Tor Vergata is where 25 years ago, in the year 2000, St. John Paul II celebrated Mass and a vigil with young people for World Youth Day. This place that holds so many memories will be the third location for the Jubilee of Youth and will be the meeting point between pilgrims and Pope Leo XIV. On Saturday, the 2nd of August at 8:30 p.m., an evening vigil with the Holy Father will take place, after which the youth, along with their sleeping bags, will be spending the night at Tor Vergata awaiting Mass with Pope Leo XIV the very next morning, marking the end of the Jubilee of the Youth.
Why is it important that the youth physically celebrate Mass with the Pope and see him and talk with him?
It's very important for youth, I think, apart from being maybe a little bit starstruck, oh wow, I'm seeing the Pope. It matters, he is a pastor, the pastor of the Universal Church. And he very often has words that can encourage us along the journey of our faith.
And what can the young people do for the Pope? How, not only Pope Leo XIV, but all the previous popes we've had, how have they benefited with having that connection with the youth?
It brings youth and energy to the church, definitely. Yeah, I think it's encouraging. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I am sure that it is even a powerful witness, you know, for him in a way to see all these young people gathered in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, for the church to show, to be a show of life in the church.
As the Jubilee of Youth draws closer, the Eternal City is waiting patiently to welcome young hearts, minds, and souls to fill the streets of Rome, showing that the Catholic Church is very much alive today.
Don't go away, we'll return with the powerful story of Sister Claire Crockett, whose faith still inspires today.
Although she was born in Ireland, Sister Claire Crockett changed the lives of many people in Playa Prieta, Ecuador.
El legado de la hermana Claire en Ecuador.
Sister Claire's legacy in Ecuador is a beacon of joy and hope. I live and work here, and I'm in contact with people from all walks of life, the elderly, the young, business people, farmers. And somehow, everyone knew Sister Claire. Even when I say I'm part of the community, they respond, "No way, Sister Claire. She was my Sister Claire."
Hermana, esa es mi hermana Claire.
The servant sisters of the Home of the Mother educate more than 400 children at the Sagrada Familia School in Playa Prieta. Located about 200 miles from the capital, this rural area of Ecuador faces high levels of poverty and, as a result, a severe lack of educational resources. At this very school, Sister Claire Crockett and other sisters of the Home of the Mother dedicated their youth to the mission. Claire was born in Derry, a town in Northern Ireland. As a child, she dreamed of becoming a movie star. With strong artistic talent and a charismatic personality, she joined a talent agency at age 14. She acted in stage plays and presented shows for Channel 4 in the United Kingdom. Sister Claire recalled that time during World Youth Day in Madrid, 2011.
When I was 17, I was asked to present for a major TV channel, Nickelodeon. Do you have that here? Yes?
But as she pursued fame, one unexpected invitation changed her life.
El momento clave de la conversión de la hermana Claire.
The key moment in Sister Claire's conversion came during a trip to Spain. A friend of hers had appendicitis and couldn't go, so she offered her place to Claire. What Claire didn't know was that it was a religious trip. Instead of going to the beach in Ibiza, they went to a monastery in the middle of nowhere near Cuenca, Spain. She went, sort of tricked into it, but still freely, and spent Holy Week there. On Good Friday, when everyone approached the cross to venerate it, she felt Jesus speak to her from the cross. "I love you, and I died for you." That encounter with the crucified Christ completely changed Sister Claire's life.
At that moment, I felt something like a slap inside of me. It was like God was showing me that he was truly God on the cross, and that the only way I could comfort him was with my life.
La única manera que yo podía consolar lo que yo estaba viendo en la cruz era con mi vida.
At the age of 18, she joined as a candidate for the Servants of the Home of the Mother on August 11, 2001. She made her perpetual vows on September 8, 2010. Sister Claire devoted her work to young people and children, whom she captivated with her musical talent.
When she was assigned to Guayaquil, which was a new foundation in a city with a lot of poverty and many dangers, she devoted herself fully to the task with great joy and enthusiasm.
In Playa Prieta, she did the same work the sisters continue today. She played soccer with students, taught guitar lessons, and gave English classes to underprivileged children, who, thanks to benefactors, now have access to a Catholic education. The sisters also visit homes in the area to deliver medicine and food. This was the work that Claire carried out until April 16, 2016, when a 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Ecuador, killing more than 600 people, among them Sister Claire Crockett, who was 33 years old. The earthquake also claimed the lives of three young aspirants to the Servant Sisters of the Home of the Mother and five students.
Las hermanas habían participado en la misa aquí en Playa Prieta.
The sisters had attended mass here in Playa Prieta and were returning home. She was about to start her guitar lesson when the earthquake struck, and she didn't have time to leave the building before it collapsed under the weight of its four floors. The earthquake killed her and the girls who were attending their guitar lessons.
En reunión, aprendiendo guitarra con ella.
After Sister Claire's death, Matthew Nobrega was sent to Ecuador as a servant brother of the Home of the Mother. Following the earthquake, the Archbishop of Puerto Viejo invited priests to establish a community there to help rebuild the churches that had collapsed. As it did for him, Sister Claire's legacy continues to impact the lives of thousands of young people around the world. Many say she was an inspiration in their vocational journey.